CJ, what's going on, bro? Appreciate you doing this.
No, everything's good. I just coach a community college team, so we just finished up from practice not too long ago, and then gonna head into the to work office, my work office at school in a little bit. So,
Clovis, California guy. Are you the most famous person from Clovis?
probably not. No,
Who's more famous than you?
I'm not sure, but I mean, we've had some guys that played in the MLB,
What's
but
Clovis
not
known
really.
for?
What?
What's Clovis known for?
Well, sports wise, I mean, we have really good baseball, some wrestling, but yeah, Clovis is mainly like the kind of the whole Central Valley of California is like agriculture, every type of crop, some dairies, raisins. There's a big rodeo in Clovis, so kind of more cowboyish, but yeah.
Are you any other sports growing up? Obviously, you're a runner. But were you a baseball fan, basketball fan, anything else? And are you still a fan of any other sport now?
Yeah, I played pretty much all sports growing up. My dad was a basketball coach, so I
Oh,
played
okay.
basketball. Yeah, he was a high school basketball coach, so I played basketball. Like that was my first sport. But yeah, pretty much played them all. You know, like every kid plays soccer, and I played baseball and Little League. We had a pretty good baseball team. Two of those players have played in the pros now.
Oh, really?
Jordan Luplo and Tyler Ferguson.
Okay.
So yeah, two guys from a 12 player all-star team went to the MLBs, and I'm a pro runner, so that team had some talent. We had a lot of guys play D1 baseball, but haven't played baseball since real young, and then I stopped playing basketball my sophomore year in high school. I stopped to just do running because it was what I was best at, what I liked, and I just kind of wanted to put all my time into that.
Let me ask you this. I live in New York City, born and raised my whole life. I'm close to retirement, and my wife and I want to move somewhere warm. I just can't fathom Christmas and the holidays in a warm season. But that's all you know, right?
I mean, it's not warm here. Like we're like in Central California, so it's not like LA, like San Diego, where it's just warm all the time. We're really hot in the summer, so it'll be like 110 in the summer sometimes. And then the winters are like, we don't have winter, but it's cool. Like a lot of our January mornings are like, in the low 30s, and the highs like in the mid 40s or something. So it's not warm, but it's not snow.
Being a father now, Santa Claus, what was a big gift you had to get your kids this year for Christmas? You played Santa Claus this year. Well, this is
Yeah.
early February, so in December, what were the big gifts the kids wanted this year?
I'm trying to remember. My daughter like wasn't even one yet, so she did she, or
Okay.
no, she had just turned one. So I feel like she doesn't really understand gifts, so I don't know what we got her. You just bring out a toy she hasn't seen yet and wrap it, I guess. I'm trying to think what we got my son. I feel like my wife does a lot of the gifts, so I don't know if we got him a big gift. I don't know. I can't remember fully. I don't think we got him anything huge. It was probably just like some small toys, like
A bunch of little
little
gifts they get
things.
excited over.
Yeah, we just got him a little. Just very, very cheap dinosaur tent. It was like $15, but it's all like dinosaurs on the outside, and then you go in the tent. But that
You
wasn't
meant.
the gift. It was just my wife saw it, and
You mentioned you stopped playing basketball like sophomore year of high school. You really started concentrating on running. Arizona State, did any other school really have a shot to get you?
when I first started the recruiting process, I thought I'd probably go to Portland, actually. They're a
Okay.
really good running school. They had been like top 10 in the nation like a lot of the years, especially when they were recruiting me. They first phone call, the coach said based on my grades and how I was running, I'd basically have a full ride for 5 years. Like, wow, that sounds great. They're a really good school. They kind of had like the stuff I at the time I thought I wanted to do more like sports marketing type stuff or something in that field, and they have a lot of big things in Portland, so I was like, yeah, this is like my number one option.
Wow.
And then when I went there, I don't know, I just, for whatever reason, I just didn't like it that much. Or I didn't like dislike it, but I was just like, I'm gonna keep looking. And then I visited Butler, which was kind of cool because that was when they had gone to the Final Four a couple
Oh, wow.
years.
Okay.
So that was kind of cool to be there, but I didn't really want to move to Indianapolis, and So, and then I talked to some other schools, but then when I went to my visit at Arizona State, I just really liked it. I really liked the coach, Louis Quintana. Like, he was just kind of awesome. And then all the other guys on the team, like, I just had like a ton of fun on that visit. Actually, we basically just played sports the entire visit. It was pretty exhausting, but it was great. I think we played basketball, ultimate frisbee, just like, oh, we were just constantly doing stuff. And it was like middle of October, and it was just like beautiful there. It's like just like 80 degrees and like perfect. So, just kind of wound up there, and it felt like a good fit. And but I ended up enjoying it.
Did you meet your wife in Arizona State?
Yeah, she's a runner as well. So she was a year below me, and then so she came in as a freshman like that next year. And then we started dating a few months later, I think in like around like October. And then I've been together ever since.
Do you remember your first date?
Yeah, well, we have like a official date and an unofficial date. So we I it was kind of like a joke. Like, I asked her to go like shopping with me, like to Ross, to help me pick out clothes, because I never had any good clothes. So like that wasn't like a date, but I just wanted to hang out with her. And then we went to Barnes and Noble afterwards and just kind of talked for hours in the bookstore. And that was when I was like kind of like, all right, I like this girl. And so we kind of say we fell in love there. But then we had like an actual first date maybe like a week later. Which was kind of a funny story, because I was like working up like the courage to like ask her out on a date. And we were at like an event. I'm like, all right, when this is over, like, I'm gonna ask her, like, to go on a date with me to Encounter. It's like this breakfast place. And so I'm like just like sweating and stuff. And then like she ended up leaving early, but I didn't know that. And so like she like I look over and like I'm going over to ask her, and then I realize she's not there. And I'm like, I asked her friends, like, where'd Chelsea go? They're like, oh, she left already. So I'm like, ah, like, so then like I'm like, I don't know what to do, because I wasn't gonna see her, but I wanted to go on the date like the next day or 2 days later. So then like I texted her, like, hey, like, you left early, but like I want to ask you if you wanted to go and to like Encounter with me, whenever it was, like tomorrow or Friday or something. And there was like a thing at our church also called Encounter. It was like a event thing. And so she thought I was asking her to that. I'm like, why are you asking me? Like, we're all going. Like, this is like, I don't know. Like, she was confused. And because then I asked her, like, I can, like, we can go after class or something. So then she talked to her roommate, and her roommate was like, I think he's asking you to like the brunch
That
place
is
to go on
great.
a date. And then finally we clarified. I'm like, yeah, I'm asking you out, essentially. So
That's
then that was
great.
our first date.
Running, I have a lot of UFC guys on the podcast, and running and wrestling is similar in the fact that it's like grueling sports, a lot of dedication, of course. But in college, you guys are recruited heavily, but then after college, there's not the MLB, the NBA, there's not that thing. You guys have to get regular jobs. Is that frustrating while you're in school? You're one of the best runners in the world, some of the best wrestlers in the world, and it's like, okay, there's no professionals for me. Is that, even though you went the pro route, is that frustrating for you?
Well, it wasn't frustrating for me, because I wasn't at that level in college. Like, I wasn't at the
Oh,
level to where I
okay.
was gonna run professionally. I was decent in college. Like, I wasn't bad. Like, I had some success, but like I was also just kind of in the middle of the pack. Like, I was towards the front of the middle of the pack, but like I was just another guy out there. So there wasn't like, I obviously everyone would love to go pro, but that wasn't an option for me. And like, it wasn't, I guess it was always in the back of my mind, like, but realistically, like, my times weren't there. So when I graduated, it was like you kind of have to be usually in like be like a top five, top 10 guy in the nation, to even be in consideration for that. And I wasn't anywhere close. So so it wasn't frustrating. I don't know if it's frustrating for many people. I mean, now there's a little bit more. Like, people can get like NIL deals, and there's not a lot of that in running. Like, in wrestling, I'm sure there's not a lot, but like the top guys that probably will go pro, or top women that will go pro, like, they're getting some NIL deals from shoe companies while they're in college. And so they're starting to get into that, like, I'm getting essentially paid like starting in college. So it's a little bit different now. And they're if you are like if you're like winning the NCAA title, like you're gonna get, you're gonna get a pretty good contract coming out of college. So I think it's more frustrating for the people that are really good, but they're no one really knows them because there may be a guy that gets like 8th at nationals. Like you're still really good to be top 10 in the NCAA, but you're not you know your name isn't that well known. You might be able to join a pro-ish group, but you may have like a very small contract that's not really paying any bills. So that's the kind of level where it's frustrating because they might have a lot of potential and could be really good, but they're just not quite there yet in college. And there's more support groups opening up and different groups try to get sponsorships and different ways of funding to fund people like that. But it's still, yeah, most people just you just gotta go get a job.
Before we talk about your illustrious running career and how heavy your name is, you set all records in the steeplechase. What exactly is that? Because right before we did this, I made a little post-it, steeplechase records. When did you break these records, and what exactly is that?
I didn't break any records. I guess I was in the top 10 of, Arizona State's all-time list, but definitely Arizona State's had some really good steeplechasers over the years, some guys that have won nationals. One guy that actually went to my high school, Kyle Alcorn, went to Buchanan High, then to ASU, and then he was actually an Olympian in the steeplechase. So I wasn't anywhere close to his times. But anyways, the steeplechase is there is four barriers, basically like hurdles, except they don't move and they cover the span of like three track lanes or so. And they're 30 for the men, they're 36 inches. For the women, they're 30 inches. But you jump over those barriers four times per lap. And then each lap, you also have a water jump. So you have the same height barrier. And then I believe it's an 11 foot pit of water, 11 feet lengthwise, not deep depthwise, but no one's drowning. But yeah, and so you basically most people step on the barrier, push off of it, and try to most people don't clear the water, but it's good to only have 1 foot kind of land right in the water, and then your second foot is out for like a normal running stride. So yeah, so there's a bunch of jumps and then you jump over the water.
I went on your Wikipedia. Of course, everything on the internet is true, and it said you set the world indoor marathon record at the New York Armory. I Google images New York Armory. Bro, would you just run around like 80 times? Like mentally, how'd you
Lot
do
more than
that?
that.
How'd you do that mentally?
Yeah, so well, it's not a to yeah, that event isn't run that often, probably for a good reason, but yeah, so it's 211 laps
My God.
on a 200 meter indoor track. We actually started the reverse way around the track, and then after an hour, we turned around and ran the other way. I don't know if it's helpful or not. I guess for your hips, maybe balancing them out. But it's just kind of a quirky thing that they do for it. But yeah, mentally, I'm more just thinking about like it was a race. While we were going for both the record and I was racing guys, we had there ended up being three of us together almost the entire way, like up to like 23 or 24 miles. So I'm mainly just focused on the guys I'm trying to beat, and you're not really like you're not counting laps because that would just yeah. But we're wearing an electronic bib that scans every time we go around a lap. So technology is counting for us. And then our split time and our time like pops up on the scoreboard in the armory every time we go around. So you never really have to like think about how much you have left or anything like that. You just kind of run and I had ran marathons before, so
Earbuds when you do that? Can you wear earbuds?
no, but they did have music playing. We actually sent them songs.
That
Yeah, so we sent them
really?
songs beforehand, so they played kind of like our different all the competitors, like we all sent in songs and they played them over the loudspeaker in the armory.
When you train, so please do not even think I'm being like, oh, me too. I ran the marathon in New York City 2 years ago, so I'm just gonna have a couple of questions. When you train, do you always run different routes to mentally do it? Because for me, the whole thing was mental. So do you change routes every day when you run?
Not really. I end up running a lot of similar routes. Yeah, the route for me isn't a mental thing. I mean, maybe like some of the hills and terrain might, they're things you need to be aware of. But as far as like just like the scenery of a route, like I don't really even think about that when I'm running. Like, people would be like, oh, like, this marathon has this or that. And it's
Yeah.
like, if I was just running one, like casually, like, you notice things, but when you're racing, like, I don't really notice much of anything. I mean, like, yeah, we're running through all these five boroughs of New York and, all this cool stuff, but I don't notice any of it. I'm just trying to beat the guys that I'm with or that are in front of me.
And you're signed to Brooks, right?
Yeah.
See, I rock Brooks also. They didn't sign me for some reason. I don't know. Do you get wined and dined by the companies? Like, how does that work? Like, because again, I'm trying to, like I said, I have so many basketball players, football, like, oh, Nike did this, so-and-so did this. So did Brooks like wine and dine you, or you knew you wanted to run them? Like, yo, I rock your stuff. Do you guys want to sign me?
Yeah, so how I got started with them was in 2019, they started a program called like the Hometown Heroes program. And basically that was all the people that were qualified in the marathon for the 2020 Olympic trials that didn't have a sponsorship already. They were basically like giving gear to and giving shoes to and be like, hey, like you can wear our stuff. At the time, all the shoe companies were working on new prototype shoes, like with the carbon fiber plates and all the new shoes that we see now. So all the brands were working on theirs, and so like they were like, we'll give you like our prototype shoes to wear and have and test out and stuff. And then there was like, if we did really well at the trials, there was like a bonus we could earn. But so it's like a kind of like a pseudo contract. And I was like, that's cool. I mean, I'm just buying my own running shoes off a of clearance right now. So, having gear and whatever is a lot better than having nothing. So yeah, I started kind of working with them. And then as the year progressed, I ended up like having some faster races and leading into the trials. My training had been really good. And one of the guys there was like, hey, like, you're one of the guys that through this program has done really good. And we're, depending on how the trials go, we're interested in maybe like, maybe having you on for a more
Oh,
official
wow.
contract after this. And so it was very just kind of casual, but kind of just like, we've noticed you've done well and, just keep this in mind. So then I ended up getting seventh at the Olympic trials, which was a great performance for me at the time. And so then it was like, okay, I went back to Brooks and it was like, yeah, like they want to sign me. They offered me a contract. Then I actually ended up talking with Hoka for a little bit.
Okay.
And then they offered me a little bit more, and then I went back to Brooks, and Brooks matched it, and so I was like, okay, cool. Like I want to be with Brooks. Like they were cool to me. I had done an event in high school a couple twice. It's called the Brooks PR Invite with them, and I was like, this is just such a cool company. Like I remember being in high school. Like if I ever ran professionally, like it'd be cool to run for Brooks. So then being able to sign with them for my first kind of official contract was great, and then. It's been great ever since. I've signed like two ex like new contracts since then. My first one was like only a year and a half, I think, and then I signed another one through 2024, and then I just redid another one through for another four years or so. So
Do you get some dope swag from them?
yeah, I pretty much get all the stuff. They usually like do it in the form of like a gift. Get just a big gift card, so I can just order stuff whenever I need things. But then like they also will like give me new stuff. So like if we're always like shoes are the big thing, so we're always working on new shoes. And so usually I have shoes about a year out before they like come out
Oh,
to
that's pretty
market.
cool.
And the first part of the year we're still like in the testing phase and getting things dialed in. And then usually like the last like 6 to 9 months I'm wearing pretty much the finished product before they get fully brought out to market. So
Do you have any say in your sneakers, personalizing them by like any, oh, I want this a little different. Do you have any say in that?
like yes and no. So like personalizing a shoe is hard. And like you can do it, but it's pretty expensive because of the way that they do the moldings of shoes. So I don't have just like, and you can, there's rules on like how much you can personalize a shoe. Like World Athletics, which is like our governing association for track and field and marathons. They have certain rules. So like you can't make like just a one-off shoe for like a certain person.
Oh, okay.
You can make like tweaks to an existing shoe. Like I have really wide feet. So theoretically, like Brooks could use the same shoe, but just make like the toe box a little wider, for example. And like that would be allowed because it's the same shoe. It's just they're just tweaking things, based on an abnormal foot. So but like they couldn't just make a completely different shoe. Like basically the shoe has to be accessible to the general public within a year of its development. So but I do have say in like what when we're developing the shoe. Like we've gone through like since I've been with Brooks, we've gone through well we're gonna be going on the sixth one. So we'll have gone through like five different racing shoes, like basically the same model that we've been improving. So each time we like get to a new one, me and the other, you know, the other pro runners are giving feedback, saying what we like, what we don't like, how to tweak, and you know, and they actually do like take those into consideration because like some of the things I've suggested, like I mean, they've actually been tried out, and so
That's pretty cool. So maybe I'm wrong, but I started hearing your name like a year or two ago. You ran Boston a couple times, and then 2024 you did Olympic trials, Boston, Chicago, New York, in like really close proximity. Like that was no joke. And you came in seventh place, 10th. Was that your goal? Like when you laid out your 2024 plans, it's like, okay, I'm gonna blast all these marathons out because you're one of the only dudes that I knew of. And maybe honestly, because you're American, whatever, but it's like, well, this guy ran all the marathons and the Olympic trials and he's top 10. Was that your blueprint for this?
Not initially, no. Going into 2024, obviously, like the big goal was the trials. But then I wanted to do Boston as well because it's just a great race and I really like it. It's just yeah, it's just a really fun race. I also get paid, so that's nice too. But I was like, whether I make the Olympic team or not, I want to do Boston because after Boston, there's enough time between Boston and the Olympics. So I was like, I want to do Boston. I know I recovered pretty well from marathons, especially like the Olympic trials was on a flat course. Like Orlando was, yeah, it was just a really flat course. So you don't get quite as beat up from it. So I had those two planned out. And then after Boston, when I was like planning for the fall, I had wanted to do New York just because I had never done New York before. And the way it falls in the year, sometimes it's hard for me to go. So like I wanted to do that, and then when I but I was also talking a little bit with Chicago and trying to decide, and then I had committed to New York, but then Chicago also had like it seemed like a great opportunity for me, like both financially, and I thought I could run really fast, and like I hadn't really truly ran a fast race. I'd had some good performances, but not really ran as fast as I thought I could, and so Chicago was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. But it was 3 weeks before New York, which is not almost nobody does that, like two majors, you know, in a season, especially like American majors, because you know, the American majors are typically like pretty good with Americans and you get paid pretty good appearance fees. And so like they want you know, they want you at your best. And so that was kind of like you know, I had to go back and forth a little bit, like to make it work. But I felt like it was something that I could do and something that I could do well. Like not just do both of them to do both of them, but like truly do my best in both of them. So once I made that decision, I was like, okay, like I'm doing something no one's really done that much before. And I kind of, you know, put it out there that I could do this well. So now I have to get really fit and make it work. Because I don't want to like, I don't know, just don't want to like look dumb or just kind of not let people down, but just I basically put it out there that I'm going to do this well, and so I got to back it up. And it worked. I had like a minute and 40 second PR or so in Chicago, and New York. I mean, for that course on that day, I felt like I ran pretty fast. And it was a tremendous field, and so I would have liked to have been higher than 10th, but just looking at all the guys that beat me, I mean, it was a good It was realistically, it was a good performance for me. So, yeah, it wasn't quite planned, but I just kind of just take opportunities as they come, and I know what I'm capable of doing as far as training and racing for marathons. So, yeah, I feel like it's better to err on the side of taking opportunities to be cautious. Like I feel like I'm old enough and established enough that like, it's better to err on the side of just go after things because I have a good life. Like I have a good job to fall back on. Like I don't have to be super cautious. Like, you know, I have a good contract with Brooks, so why not just go after things?
I want to talk about New York, but before that, if you decide right now you want to run London or Tokyo or a race in Singapore, do you automatically get in or do you just tell Brooks, hey, I want to run London? Hey, I'm going to go do Tokyo Marathon. Like, is that, can you get in whenever you want? Are you like grandfathered in because of your ranking and Brooks and all that?
So I would typically coordinate. There's usually an elite coordinator for all of those races. So like for Boston, pretty much all the big races, there's someone that coordinates the field for like the professional field. So you typically have to find who that person is. A lot of people have agents, so that's something your agent would do. I don't have an agent, so I just had to, I know enough people though, like I can find someone that knows who I need to contact, and then I get in contact with that coordinator, and then we talk about, if I'm gonna get appearance fees, how travel's gonna work, just kind of all the like logistics of that. But yeah, so it's not like a guaranteed entry, but it's just a totally different entry process because it's.
Back to New York, you did 210.57, 10th place. When you go in there, you're like, I hope to break this. Like, I had a goal. I'm like, I need to do this time. When you go in there, do you, is it time and placing? What do you go in there, like, your mentality wise?
A little bit. I knew I likely wasn't gonna set a personal best, so I'd ran like 208.17 in Chicago. But Chicago's a flat course. We had pacers. It's a very fast race. New York is not that fast of a course. I don't think the hills are like tremendously hard, but it's not a PR type course, or at least at the professional level. It's pretty tough, and there's no pacers, so typically the race goes out a little bit slower. Like our first mile was about a minute slower than my first mile in Chicago. So right off the bat, it's like, okay, I'm not gonna run a PR today. But I do have times in mind because a lot of times your appearance fee contracts are somewhat subject to time. So sometimes you can earn like. It's weird. Like you can kind of earn like bonus appearance fees or just like personal bonuses for running certain times. Or sometimes you can lose money if you run, too slow. So like there's a little bit of time that I'm have in the back of my mind because some it can play out financially. But for the most part, and especially in a race like New York, it's almost just solely place. Just trying to place as high as I can. For that race, I really didn't know because the field was so good and so deep. It's like I'm always trying, like getting top five in a world marathon major is like a big deal. That's kind of like a next level that I'm not quite at right now, but it's like a big goal that I would like to be at. So that's always in my mind. It's like that would be a fantastic, amazing day. Top seven is really solid. But top 10 in this field is also, if everyone runs good, top 10 is going to be good for me. And so that's kind of how it played out. Since it went out a little bit slower at the front, not too many people like blew up and had bad days. Pretty much all the top guys ran good. And they were just better than me that day. So I got 10th and it was solid.
Did you, like, I lived in New York my whole life. I know the marathon like the back of my hand. Do you know the route? Like, do you do any, okay, the first 2 miles on the Verrazano Bridge, a little uphill, then running through Brooklyn, and then in the Bronx, like, do you know, like, here are the hills, here's the route, I'm gonna slow down here, maybe pick it up here. Do you plan that out or not really?
So I have a Peloton, and they actually have the entire New York course
Oh, no shit, really?
on the they have like different virtual videos on scenic runs or whatever they call them on Peloton. So yeah, I ran the entire course virtually, but like I mean they have it actually how they filmed it was pretty cool, pretty good quality. They filmed it on race day. As the like basically they were at like the front of the field more or less, and which was actually really helpful because I could see how the water stations were or how the aid stations were aligned.
Oh,
So like
okay.
as professionals we'll give our water bottles and our gels, like whatever feeling we're gonna have, we put those in little bins the day
Yeah, that's
before.
so cool. Your names, I love that.
Yeah, and so and then they put them out, and so you like to kind of know like okay, what are the elite station is going to look like how what side of the road are the tables on, just how like you kind of know that because they tell you, but like when you can see it just makes more sense, and like you can see like landmarkers, okay, this is exactly where it's at, so I could see all those placed out like in the Peloton videos, which was just helpful, and just like getting a visual for like okay, like I know like I've seen the elevation route on like a on the little things that they do. But like, you don't really, I mean, but then when it's on video and you're running it, and like the little Peloton thing kind of has like an auto incline, it doesn't change the incline for you, but it gives you like suggestions. So you kind of get an idea of what the gradient is up and down, or mainly up because it doesn't go down. But yeah, so that was actually really helpful. And I did that. I do a lot of like heat training on my treadmill. Well, I put a bunch of heaters in my room and just make it really hot in
Is that
there.
the red light you do? Because I saw it on YouTube. What is that red light you do when training?
Yeah, so I had used it. They're basically like red light or heat bulbs, kind of like a chicken coop lamp, like incandescent heat lamps. And they're red tinted. I do also have like a red light panel that I'll put in the front. So there's like red light shining on me. Now I've kind of like taken out some of the lamps because I had like so many lamps, it was just kind of chaotic. And I just got like little space heater things because they heat up pretty efficiently and it's more compact heaters. So yeah, so I just have the heaters in there, and there's some good studies on heat training and endurance adaptations and things like that. So I'll do some of like my easier double run, like my second runs, with that on the treadmill. And so I was doing, for like a month or two leading into the New York Marathon, I was doing a lot of those second afternoon runs in with my heat things, on the New York course.
Would you run New York again?
Yeah, no, yeah, it was definitely a great race, and just, I mean, obviously it's a super competitive race, so you always want to go where there's competition, but it's also just it's a cool race, and you never really know what's going to happen in that race because the course is challenging enough that it makes it a little bit unexpected, and there's no pacers like some of the other big marathons. So it's just you just go out and run, and yeah.
Mile 3 literally runs in front of my house. Like
Oh.
it, yeah, it actually runs down my block. So when you do it, I'll have a nice sign for you so you can recognize me. After the race, do you chill in New York for a while? You sightseeing, you going out to eat, or you just getting home? You're like, because it's work for you. Like, well, how does that work for you?
Yeah. I mean, I probably, well, yeah. So no, because I'm teaching and coaching, throughout the year, but during the fall we're in our cross country season. So sometimes New York like aligns on the same weekend as our regional championships. This year or this past year it didn't. So I was like, okay, well, I'm for sure doing New York because I don't have to like miss. I can do it this year and not have to worry about missing a big race for us. So, but anyways, I had to get back because we had regionals in that following Friday. So I had to get back to work and back to our practice and our team and everything. So yeah, usually after races, if they're within the school year, I'm going back the next day, like, the next morning flying out.
Realistically, how do you juggle parenting, being a husband, being a rising star in the American running game, coaching? Like, how do you do it? When I trained, and trust me again, I'm married, no kids, and I have a job. So I ran in the morning. I'm like, oh my God, sorry, babe. I gotta go run for 2.5 hours today. And I felt like, man, that's 2.5 hours out. You training, how do you juggle all that time-wise?
It's definitely difficult. Well, maybe not as well time wise and just like energy wise. I think for like the parenting and kid side, like, my wife definitely has to take like a lot more of the like time and responsibility of it. Like she like allows me to, to go out and train and like have that time where it's like, yeah, like most period, like, oh, it's like Saturday or Sunday morning, like, we're gonna have breakfast together and go do this stuff, like, it's like, but then, and yeah, I'm just going out and running for 2.5, 3 hours. So and a lot of times at night, like especially after like my second run, like I'm pretty tired, and so like a lot of like the bedtime routines, like she's probably doing like 95% of it. And so yeah, it just like, I mean, without her handling all that and like, being understanding that like it's I it because like it's sometimes it doesn't feel like a job because like, oh, like, he's running or whatever. It's like a hobby, and like it is a hobby, like it is just fun and something I get to do that's like for myself. But it also, I mean, I do make a lot of money from it, so I feel like I mean, she would want me to do well even if I didn't make a lot of money in it. But that also helps sometimes when we're both frustrated, or mainly when she's frustrated. It's like, well, at least like go to Disneyland and not have to worry about money or something. But I'm just joking. They're at Disneyland right now. She's with her sister, so, and they got all the kids. But yeah, no, she's definitely a big help, in just keeping me like mentally and emotionally stable too. Because it's like sometimes I'm just not in a good. You just get tired and your brain doesn't always work super well. So she kind of like keeps me sane and yeah, and makes it work.
Give me a normal week for you, running wise, work wise, food prep. Are you a strict guy where you're eating, or are you like, I run 10 miles, 20 miles a day, I don't need to be that strict. Give me a regular routine week for you, non-race week.
Okay, kind of depends on the season, but I'll just go like this season. So like basically every morning we have practice at 7. So when I wake up, I go to like our community college practice. That normally goes until like 9 or so. On Tuesdays and Thursdays we're in the weight room. So, well, I'll just go back. So like on Mondays, I'll like go run, we go practice. I can actually come home for like a little bit, which is like how I'm doing this right now. And then I'll go to the office at like 12:30 or so. I have like office hours, and then I have a staff meeting until like 4. Usually, it technically goes to 5, but we normally end at like 4:30. Then I typically run after that, and then it's like, by then it's like 6, and we're having dinner and kids and stuff, and we go to bed. And then Tuesdays, we practice on the campus, and like I'm teaching more of those days, so I'm basically just like on campus until like about from like 7 to like 2:30-ish or so, and then I'll typically come home. I'm usually kind of hungry, maybe I have a snack or something, and then like go run at like 4, and then yeah, same. Then it's evening time, and then Wednesday is kind of similar to Monday, Thursday is similar to Tuesday, and then Friday. Right now it's nice because we just have practice in the morning, and then I don't have anything after that. Once the meets start though, we typically like we either have like a meet Friday, Saturday, or both. So I'll start traveling for track meets on the weekends. Usually though, like I'm usually it's like either like a day trip or maybe one overnight. And then I'm usually almost always home on Sundays.
And last thing is food wise, you eating super strict? What is your eating regimen?
It's getting a little not I want to say it's getting more strict, but I'm getting just more into food. Like we bought like a flour mill, and so I'm just into now like milling flour, making our own bread and our own all of our basically any wheat product, just making it our own.
Okay, smart.
And then yeah, and then like I'm also like a I don't know, well I guess in this circumstance, paranoid is the right word, but I'm a fairly paranoid on like drug testing stuff. So like for meat, like I only eat like
Of course, yeah.
organic meat that's not like doesn't have any added hormones or things to the cows, which is kind of difficult sometimes because you really can't eat out anywhere. Or I have to have like chicken, and I don't really like chicken that much. I wait really prefer beef, but most beef does have like added hormones and steroids, which you probably like, I mean, you realistically wouldn't test positive, but you technically have, because like for certain hormones or certain steroids, the like limit is literally zero, like it's 0.0.
Yeah, so you have any of that and you'll pop.
Well, you won't because they won't test it that low. I mean, it's like you'd have like picograms and like picograms in your system, and so you probably wouldn't test positive, but theoretically, well, they set limits for some and they don't set limits for others, but it's confusing. But technically, you are above the limit of zero for a few of them that have a limit of zero. So I just don't really have what meat. Yeah, it's just like whatever. And it's good to probably have high quality meat. But then the same, I also like am just eating less processed or manufactured foods. I don't know. Like the foods are probably fine too, but like supplements, they tell you to be really cautious of your supplements because there can be contamination and stuff. But the same can happen with like food and food manufacturing. You can get trace amounts or whatever. You probably won't, but anyways, it just makes it. You probably should eat very, very minimally processed,
Of
minimally
course,
manufactured
yeah.
foods
I'm crazy
anyways.
with my food, so I get it.
So it's kind of just like out of like, oh, I just don't really want to be worrying about whatever's in my food. Like I just So just eating, fruits and vegetables and grains that I'm just buying like just the whole grains and I'm milling the flour myself and stuff. But I feel like once you start kind of doing it's kind of fun. I'm just getting into like starting to ferment more things. Just made these like sourdough pancakes, which is literally just sourdough starter. And make my own yogurt and so we'll see how it goes. But hopefully I don't know. I kind of we'll see how it goes like long term and if I feel better. Oh, I'm making actually I have some bone marrow in the oven that I'm gonna take out to make some broth. I haven't done it before,
I
so I
literally just
don't
did,
know
no,
how
CJ, I literally did it right before this podcast. I make my own
it's
bone broth, bro. I'm crazy, bro. I get my food delivered from the Amish. I'm not lying, bro. I'm absolutely bonkers, bro.
That, well, you guys have that. Yeah, we need a good. We don't really have any Amish farms out here, but I'm always, yeah.
Yeah, my wife thinks I'm crazy. It's legit, every Friday from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, two Amish girls come up with a dude driving the truck. I get my eggs, my butter, my raw milk, my cheese.
Oh, that's like the dream. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's.
man, it's great. I get my food from forces of nature, bro. I'm crazy. So I love the fact that you just did that. Quick question. I'm back to your thing. I went on your Instagram and you ran a marathon on the treadmill, which isn't as crazy as it sounds when you think of it. Are you doing that on the Peloton or are you doing that just in general? Are you listening to something? Because my whole thing is going to keep going back to my training, which is I hate to even compare myself to you, but it was always like, okay, I'll do an hour podcast. I'm not a big music guy, but I'll do an hour of music, like to try to mix it up. When you're doing a full marathon on the treadmill, obviously you're running double my time. You're cutting it in half. But are you listening to shit? Like, how do you do that?
I haven't ran a marathon on the treadmill in a long time, actually. But when I did that, I was listening to music. I don't remember exactly what I was listening to, but there's been times where like I used to run like more on the treadmill, especially when there's a lot of fires. Like, well, there's always fires in California, but there was a time when there was fires and like all the smoke was blowing into Fresno, which typically happens because we're like right in the valley and we just get all the junk from everywhere. So I had to run inside a lot just because it was like just smoke outside. So like I would watch TV. Like I had like just I watched a bunch of over COVID and there's COVID and fires. So I was just watching a bunch of seasons of Survivor while I was running. So yeah, but when I'm running fast, I don't really I can't watch TV because like it's just it makes me feel like you just can't do it. So I'm just listening to music. Or I'll stack like a couple Peloton classes on top of each other. So there's like music and the instructors are talking. I typically don't follow like the format that they do. I'm just like running a straight pace, but it just depends on what I'm doing.
Heartbreak last Olympic trials. 2028 is in Cali. You gonna try to go after that again or no?
Yeah, the marathon like you typically reach your prime or stay in your prime like a little bit later than most sports or and definitely other running events. So yeah, I mean I'll be 34 when the 28 trials take place and Olympics take place. So I should be like kind of right in my prime for those at least hopefully. So yeah, no, I'm ready for it. I don't know where the trials will be, but it would be definitely cool like having the actual Olympics like in LA. And I told my wife I'm like we need to like have like a separate fund right now. Like I'm ready to like especially if I don't make it. Actually, I don't know. Basically, I'm ready to blow a lot of money on the Olympics. Like I want to like go watch everything. But I always do wonder if I do make it like how much do I have to like buy all my tickets for stuff still? Like how does that work? I know I'm like probably supposed to be like resting and stuff, but like I'm gonna go watch
Yeah, of course
events.
you are.
So I always wondered like how many free tickets do you get? What do you have to pay for? Like what is, I've always wondered that. So
One last running question for you is, you set a world record. I think you ran what, a 50K, 31 miles. Do marathon runners usually do that, run a little further? Like, I know boxers will train like 3 minutes and 30-second rounds, or change a little bit so when it comes down to the rounds, which are 3 minutes, that 31-mile run, 50K, obviously, it's another long run. You're not an ultra marathon runner. Does that help you training, something like that?
I think it does. A lot of people don't typically do runs like that, and they're not fully necessary, but they can be helpful. I don't do a ton of them now. I think it was like helpful more early in my career because it kind of like maybe it just made me better at the marathon a little bit more quickly. Like because it was like okay, like I'm doing these longer runs. Like now the mar like I can handle the marathon. But then, like, once you get to the point where you're trying to really improve your speed on the marathon, they're not quite as necessary, and they do take a lot out of you. So, like, maybe you need more, maybe you can like back those off a little bit and then have more energy or have better legs for like some of the faster speed workouts that, are going to get you faster at them. So I think like at this point, the marathon distance isn't much of a challenge, and I can still do some runs longer than a marathon, but the biggest thing for me is just getting faster, kind of in shorter speeds. And like, if my marathon pace right now is like 4:53-ish, like I need to be faster to where like 4:45s feel really comfortable to
Oof,
where I can
okay.
hold that for a marathon. And right now, it doesn't really.
Ready to finish up with some quick hit questions?
All right.
Last person you asked to take a picture with. Have you met a celebrity? You're like, oh shit, I need a picture with that dude.
I don't want to say I haven't, but I don't think I've asked to take a picture with anybody. I just,
Are you shy? You're just like, yeah, whatever.
I'm not outgo. I'm not friendly. I wouldn't say I'm friendly. I'm
Yeah.
not necessarily super shy. I don't know. It's kind of like, oh, that's, I haven't seen that many like celebrities anyways, but it's kind of just like, oh, like that's that person.
So this might negate my next question. I ask this to everybody. You and I are at a bar here in New York City. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you texted them, they would text you back? You want to be like, yo, you know who I know? I'll text blank. Anyone cool in your phone?
No, I should have a good answer.
Yeah, you should
But
have a good answer.
no, I should have a good answer because my college roommate freshman year was John Rahm, basically the best golfer.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, but I don't have his number anymore. I got a new I somewhere along the line, I got a new phone that didn't transfer the contacts, and I don't have his
That's a,
number.
that would have been a really good
It
answer.
would have been a great answer. But I was looking at it, and gosh, I was looking at like, I don't know, salaries or something, and it was like how he made over like it was either 200 or 400, some crazy amount. It was in the hundreds of millions. So it just like just in last year, and I was like, wow. Like, I mean, I thought I was doing decently well, but like, yeah. So that was a pretty good room, looking back. We.
Yeah, first of all, and that's a, that would have been a great answer. I'm not letting you slide. How about one sporting event in history you wish you could witness live? In the history of sports, CJ can sit front row at any sporting event in history. What is it?
Honestly, I have no idea. It would probably be a track one, to be honest. But
Okay.
I can't. There's been so many races I can't even think of. And then like I can't off the top of my head, like I can't think of like great games that I would have wanted to be at. Yeah, I'd have to like go through a list. I don't know. I don't have the like sports trivia to like rattle them off the top of my head.
All right, three more. Favorite show to binge watch? It's 2 in the morning. You're like, no one's home. Your wife's in Disney. What are you going to binge watch at 2 in the morning?
We typically just like cycle back and forth between like Friends and Parks and Rec. So
Okay.
like I like other shows, but like rewatching, I'm gonna like just binge rewatch like Friends or Parks and Rec. Like we've gone through both of them, I don't know how many times.
Cheat meal. I know you're a healthy dude. It's 1 in the morning. You have a few drinks. What is your ultimate cheat meal? Like, I'm gonna just pig out and gorge on what?
Well, if I've had a few drinks, it's for sure like a breakfast, like a burrito. I want eggs, but they can have like some carne asada and bacon in it too. Just like from one of the, well, I don't know. You have everything in New York, but like we have just like, I mean, there's Mexican places everywhere, but like there's like small, kind of like fast food Mexican, but like not like Taco Bell, like actual, like,
Real food.
yeah, but it's like kind of on the greasier side. Like it's like, but
Like a
it's,
dirty burrito, which is good.
yeah, but so we had like a place in Arizona that whenever you drink, you just ended up walking to Filiberto's or Philly B's, and you just get the, I don't even, gosh, what was it called? Like the something, it was some burrito that literally just had everything in it. Like it had like eggs, shrimp, beef, like everything. And they just threw it in there. So yeah, now because of the whole meat thing, I probably would get one that didn't have like beef in it, but yeah, that's, I don't know why, just when you drink, you just really want a burrito, like that type of a burrito. But then normally just ice cream. I love ice cream and I can eat a lot of it.
And you don't have your roommate money, you have John Ron money. What is the dumbest purchase you ever made? Do you ever make a purchase like, and then down there, like, why did I buy this? Dumbest purchase CJ's ever made.
I'm a fairly like thought out purchaser, so I did. Well, I bought. I want to. That's not dumb though, because I'm probably gonna use it at some point.
What is it?
Well, I bought like a VO2 max analyzer, like a portable one,
Okay.
which I mean I got a good deal on it, which is why I bought it, but it's still like $5,000, and it's like I never really use it, so it's not like a effective purchase. I mean, it was still a decent purchase, and I in my head I'm thinking like, oh, I'm gonna use this. And because we're creating new classes for the community college, I'm like, eventually I'm going to use this in my classes, like when I'm teaching, like I'm just going to use my personal stuff to teach. But yeah, at the time, but like so far I've used it a couple times and it wasn't a great purchase, but I don't know.
Dude,
I don't know if it was dumb. It's just, I didn't necessarily
it's
need
not gonna
it.
be dumb down the road.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. My wife would probably have an answer. She would, I don't know what she would say, but you could ask her.
Dude, this was so much fun. Thank you for giving me an hour of your time. Listen, let's keep in touch because if you run New York, you can run right by my house. I'll say what's up and hopefully we see you in the Olympics, but I'm definitely gonna keep following your great rise in American running, bro. You're a huge name out there. This was so much fun, man. Let's keep in touch.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, it's great talking with you.
CJ, talk soon, brother.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.